Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure, as always. It's my website, by the way, is smallbusinessadvocate.com and also askjim.biz. The first one is the flagship. That's the one that we've had for about 10 years now, and where you can go and find all the things that we do, including our show is available there a number of different ways. In fact, we'll allow you to take possession of our interviews. You can actually have fair use of our shows, and that we have an archive. We've clipped all the commercials out and put them back together, and we got thousands of those there, including the ones I did yesterday and the ones I'm going to do tomorrow, and the ones we did 8 or 9 years ago. And so you can check those out there, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Also check out our blog while you're there, and of course askjim.biz. That's our knowledge base. That's the place where you can go and ask your small business questions and get small business answers instantaneously. John Trazer is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. John is the author of The Grateful Dad, and he and I are going to talk about Father's Day. John, welcome to the show, and happy Father's Day.
And back at you, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you here. I'm glad to find you because, you know, Mother's Day is a big deal, and we make a big deal out of it. And sometimes I think maybe Father's Day isn't quite as big a deal as Mother's Day is. And I'm glad that we're going to spend a little time on Father's Day.
Cool.
What do you think?
Well, sure. There's a psychic compensation to being a grateful dad, and the book is spelled G-R-E-A-T, which confuses people, because if you go look for it under the regular spelling, you end up at the Grateful Dead side, of course, you know. But I spelled it G-R-E-A-T, and on spell check, it always comes up in red. Hey,
yeah.
That's not the way to spell it. And I go, it is at my house. So.
You're just that kind of guy, though, aren't you, John?
You know, people say, John, you think outside of the box, and I go, there's a box?
What box? Exactly.
Nobody told me there was a box.
Well, you know, in my last book, I was talking to Chester Elton in the previous segment, and I was pointing out that in my last book, I dedicated the book to my children, Jenny and Craig, and I said, dedicated to my children, Jenny and Craig, who both continually do things to make me look like a good father.
Oh, my God. I say that all the time. Good for you, dude. That's great.
Well, it's, you know, they're my two great success stories, Jenny and Craig.
That's kind of how I ended up writing this book. People keep telling me my best work is my three boys.
Yeah.
So well, congratulations to you. That's not too common these days, Jim, so good for you.
Well, do you really think that?
Yeah.
Why do you think that? Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, I think that there's a great chain of behavior. You're going to laugh, but I think it goes all the way back to the cave.
Yeah.
When you're sitting around the fire and you're Og and Mog, and Og knows that he's the guy that's got to go out and get the woolly mammoth.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a gene pool thing that goes so far back that men, to a great degree, think they're supposed to be the guy that puts the bread on the table, and that means it's okay to spend 65 hours a week at work so that I can be measured as a good provider.
Yeah.
And there's a delicate balance in life, as you well know, that every once in a while you figure something out or you see somebody else's behavior. I just happen to have been blessed with two parents that made it so easy to be a dad because all I did was do what they did to me. And I write some music, and I've got a song called Who's Gonna Break the Chain? Because mm-hmm. I see so many chains where you maybe have some adult unhappy children who at 45, 50 are still struggling with why mom and dad didn't care enough or come to the
right
stuff I was in, or and that's a hard thing to watch sometimes.
Well, you know, what you're describing is what someone told me about a while back. They said you're either a reaction to your raising or a product of your raising. And what they meant, the person you just described is a reaction to his raising. And in other words, it's someone else's fault. If you're a product of your raising, you take what was given to you and you expand on it. You grow with it. And if you're a reaction to your raising, you know, you react to how you were treated, and it's, you know, you never take responsibility for it.
Very interesting look at that. I understand that right away. I have a concept I call the bricks. It's early in the book where this is...
Hold on, John, hold on to that thought. We have to take a little break here. Folks, we're going to take one. We'll be right back with John Treacer. He's the author of The Grateful Dad. That's G-R-E-A-T, if you will. The Grateful Dad, Saving Lives, One Heart at a Time. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
We're back. It's 17 till. A little bit of Van Morrison for you there. A little Moon Dance, one of my favorite songs. John Treacer is our guest. He's the author of The Grateful Dad. That's G-R-E-A-T-F-U-L. Grateful Dad. And John, tell us where the book's available, please.
Right now, online at Amazon, online Barnes & Noble, and primarily at my website where you'll see videos, and you can buy my CD even there. I got music about the family at thegratefuldad.com. You've been so sweet to mention it.
Yeah, and grateful, as in G-R-E-A-T. You know, I'd like to, if you don't mind, I'd like to do something right now. I'd like to talk about my dad for just a minute.
Do it.
My dad has been dead almost 3 years. And I think about him every day. It's shocking to me how much I still think about him. And every year that goes by, you think it would diminish a little bit, you know. But I think about him all the time, and I think about he wasn't highly educated, but he was very smart. He wasn't highly sophisticated, but he was very wise. And he worked hard all of his life to give me what he could, but not too much. And the most significant thing that still hits me between the eyes every time I think about him is how dignified he was to the last breath he took. He was in a lot of pain. He was in a nursing home the last year of his life, very ignominious surroundings, and he was the classiest human being I've ever seen to be in those circumstances, and the kind of nobleness that the no, nobleness and yeah. and the, to have a sense of humor all the way to the end, to the last breath, is something I'll admire as long as I live.
I can understand that one. Both of my parents are dead, Jim, and they expired. They didn't die of anything. The lights just went out. It was very hard to watch because I missed them, because I didn't get to talk to them. And it's funny. I got to hold my dad's hand as he took his last breath, and it's amazing. The only thing I could say was, "Thank you, Dad."
Mm-hmm.
Just thank you, because he didn't take promotions, he didn't move, he wanted the four Treacer boys to be in the same school and have the same friends, and there's some strength to that. He was just the kindest man in the world. He wasn't the most, he was in the railroad business, and he wasn't the most powerful guy, but he had a giant mass of friends, you know, the presidents of the Santa Fe Railroad.
My dad was a railroad man.
Wow.
How about that?
He was with the Illinois Central during the war, moving troops, and he went to the Central of Georgia, and they got bought by the Southern. We took all our vacations on trains, man.
My dad worked for Southern.
Wow.
How about that? Let me tell you something, though, that my dad did, and this is a wonderful dad story, John. When I was about 8 years old or 9 years old, my mother and dad got into this big fight, and my dad stormed out of the house, got in the car, and drove off. And there were three of us at the time, I think. Three, yeah. and or maybe four. I can't remember what year it was. Anyway, we had a bunch of kids, and you know, we didn't have a lot of money. My mom and dad were both blue-collar folks. And so he stormed out of the house and got in the car and drove away. And my older sister, I asked her, I said, what happened? She said, Dad's gone. And I said, is he coming back? You know, the kind of question an eight-year-old would ask, and is he coming back? And she said, I don't think so. And I remember thinking, wow, that's not going to be good. You know? Wow. And so about 4 or 5 hours later, Dad comes back. And he walks in the house, and I said, Dad, why did you come back? I literally asked him, why did you come back? He said, I couldn't leave you guys, meaning his children. He said, I could not leave you guys.
Yep.
And let me tell you something. I was 8 years old. I remember every word of that conversation. I remember where we were sitting, and that was something that I don't know that there was a better gift my dad could have given me. In that moment, to let me know that moms and dads can get mad at each other, moms and dads can get upset, but that's not a reason to leave the kids.
Yeah. Well, there were magical moments in my life as well. Probably the one that I've been passing on in the first chapter of the book. People have been emailing me and calling me and stuff. It was I believe the thing that makes kids struggle are two things. It's fear and doubt. And that's what makes you grow up not straight and tall. You start trying to be reactive, as you said, not a product of. And you can't say things like, why can't you be more like your brother?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not. You know, inside your own head, you know who you are. And if somebody that you love and trust, like mom and dad, is always pointing in another direction, do you want to talk reactive? The whole rest of your life, you're trying to figure out how to be like someone else. Well, you're not. And my mom used to do this thing. She was probably the more direct connective, and she did this magical thing. She would take my face in her hands. Each one of the four Tracer boys I know got this, because we all thought we were the favorite, of course. And she would look us in the eyes and say these words. I'm trying to establish a holiday called Children's Day so everybody in the country, I can't stop a war, but if I could get everybody in the country to take their child's face once a year and look them in the eyes dead serious and say, you know, there's nothing I wouldn't do for you. And the child would roll his eyes, you know, and go, yeah, right, yeah, I understand you. No. I really wouldn't do anything for you. That just makes the fear and doubt go away.
Absolutely. Hold on to that thought, John. John Tracer, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Father's Day with our new friend, John Tracer. He's the author of The Grateful Dad, GREATFUL Dad. Check it out wherever books are sold. Tintil, I'm Jim Blassingame. Happy Father's Day, dads. Welcome back. It's 7 till. Happy Father's Day, dads. And I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm a dad, and I'm talking to another dad, John Tracer, the author of The Grateful Dad, GREATFUL, as in great, The Grateful Dad, and it's available wherever books are sold. John, give us your own website again, please.
TheGratefulDad.com, and as of today, you should probably be able to put in John Tracer, TRAYSER, or just Grateful Dad, and it'll go there. Yeah. My web guy's working on that today.
Yeah, check it out. John, when a couple of quick stories on me and my kids. When my kids would get mad at me because I was being, you know, I was disciplining them or you know, wouldn't let them do something they wanted to do, and they would say, why can't I do that, Dad? I said, because, and why are you being that way? And I said, because I love you. And they'd say, well, you love me too much. And I told them that that was a high class problem they were just going to have to learn how to live with.
That's a great one.
One more quick one. When my son was about 17, he started getting a little bit like 17-year-old boys will, a little bit too big for his britches, as my dad used to say. And there were a couple of times when I had to get in his face. Now, by this time, he was taller than me. Uh-oh. So when I got for me to get into his face, I had to look up. But I got in his face, and I mean nose to nose, toe to toe. And I dressed him down two or three times. And I mean for like 5 minutes. And I told him once, I said, "You don't like this, do you?" And he said, "No, sir." And I said, "Well, son, you might as well get used to it, because you're going to have this kind of a conversation with people the rest of your life from time to time, and they won't love you." And so about 2 years later, he's in the Marines in boot camp. I get a letter from him in boot camp.
Uh-oh.
And he said, "Dad, thank you for getting in my face."
Oh, boy.
"If you hadn't gotten in my face when you did, I wouldn't have made it through boot camp."
See, he'd have been reactive, not a product of. You're yeah. absolutely right. You got to teach him everything.
Well, the thing to me, what I lurched uncontrollably to, I think, John, was discipline is love, but they got to know that it's love. It's, if you don't tell them it's love, it's just in their mind you're being mean. But
yep.
you got to tell them, "I'm doing this because I love you." And when I've disciplined them the hardest, and when they hated it the most, I would actually say to them, "Right now, I'm loving you more than any other time."
You know, and I always tried to make sure after a tense moment like that I always hugged them before I went to bed.
Yeah.
And said, "You know what? I just want to make sure that you know I love you." And you don't have to say anything more than that. It's just, it's sort of like the exclamation point at the end of it, that you let them know. You can't leave it to assumption, because if they go to bed angry and it festers, you know, that's how walls get started. And that's...
My son is a big, tough guy. He's a Force Recon Marine, a police officer, two tours in Iraq, and whenever he sees me, he gives me a big hug.
You know, I've had people start crying a few times in my life where we switched cars one night at Four Corners, and there was a woman that we knew a bit that was in our car, and I was going to switch vehicles for some reason with my son, who was at college here at Montana State, and I jumped out of the car, and we were switching cars, and he jumps into my arms and gives me a big smooch on the lips and a hug, and I jump back in the car, and this lady, Anya's crying in the back seat, and I went, "What's wrong?" She goes, "I've never seen anything like that. I mean, he's 19, 20 years old, and,
yeah.
and she grew up in such a formal place. That's a sad thing, you know, that's the exception and not the rule, because everybody's just starving for that connection, aren't they, Jim?
Yeah,
I mean,
and there's no question about it. You can't just love them, folks. You got to tell them you love them. I mean, you show them too. You got to show them like crazy, but you also need to say the words, I think, too.
Well, here's a crazy thing that I say all the time, and I don't just not on my boys. I treat everybody like family. That's how I got success.
I'm not smooching you on the lips, John, not when I see you.
But I'm going to hug you, buddy.
Okay, well, hugging's fine, but no smooching.
All right, but, you know, this is what I say all the time. Have I told you that I love you today? And you don't say I love you after it, and they're just so hungry to hear it.
Yeah.
Have I told you that I love you today? I use it on all kinds of people, but no, I ain't going to get you.
Wear it out. Wear it out, folks. It's the key. And I'll tell you, John, there are a lot of great fathers out there. And I know sometimes we hear about a lot of the bad ones. There are a lot of great fathers out there. And those of you who are just new fathers, like my son is, or will be one day, just enjoy the experience and show them you love them. And John Trazer, I've enjoyed having you here today. Will you come back another day and let's talk some music?
Boy, you got that. And let's have a new tie this Father's Day. Let's get an emotional tie. Forget the Paisley this year.
There you go. All right. Thanks. Thanks, John. John Trazer, ladies and gentlemen, the author of The Grateful Dad. Check it out when you get a chance. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Happy Father's Day.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.